Our next guest has won 800 more basketball games as a head coach than the two of us. We go over to the campus of Belmont. Bruins head coach Rick Bird is on the line with us. Rick, good morning. How you doing?
Morning. Good. How are you all?
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Is all the confetti out of the locker room? Who's on the cleanup duty for that?
Not me. I don't know. I didn't have anything to do with starting it, so I'm not going to finish it.
I got to be honest. Right now, you should have won last night. Your team should have won. You can't golf, so the only thing you can concentrate on is basketball.
too much rain right now.
There's no danger of you getting out of the office anytime soon. So what did it mean? Obviously, you guys took care of business at home, 99-58 over Eastern Illinois. Saw some really cool responses on Twitter from Calipari, Rick Barnes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people congratulating you on career win 800. What does it mean to you, Rick? I know you're not finished. I'm just saying here today, you get to celebrate 800. What does it mean to have all these people say congrats and to have that accomplishment?
Well, it's hard to put in words. I think the part of it, I guess if I can say it this way, that's far more meaningful than the basketball side is the appreciation for things that I think should always be a part of our game, and that's just sportsmanship, humility, having kids that represent your school in a first-class way. I guess it's just nice that's a part of every message that I've gotten almost, and because it's more important than the wins, in my opinion.
Do you remember your first ever win?
I know who it was against. I can't remember anything about it. It was against St. Andrews College from North Carolina. I was the head coach at Maryville College. I can't remember. We must have been 0-4, 0-5 before we won it. We went on to a great start of 2-13. and 800 wins or even games was not nearly in the thought process at that point.
You weren't thinking, man, 799 more to 800.
No, I was thinking about what else I could do for a living.
A fallback plan.
Is that when the golf started?
No, I knew pretty early on that wasn't going to pay anything either.
What are you most proud of to this point in your career?
Well, that's if you're supposed to be humble, that's a hard question to answer, because it's something that I think that those kind of things are people that other people kind of decide for you. But I'd go back to the answer before is I just decided early on in my coaching career that we'd have standards in our program. And a lot of those, most of those would have to do with outside the basketball floor and the kind of kids I wanted to represent all the schools where I've coached, and that those guys play and act on and off the court in a fashion that represents the institution in a positive way. And there are a lot of coaches, I think, it's fair to say, that don't think that you can also win games doing it that way. So I guess if I have to answer that question, it's sort of the combination of those two things, trying to be first class and all that we do and still winning on top of that.
Rick Bird on the line with us. I was looking at really outside of your game. I know there were a couple of others, but really outside of your game, there were – some close call. I mean, there were a lot of one-point finishes last night, one-point games. Jacksonville State won by a point. Eastern Kentucky won by a point. Tennessee State, unfortunately, lost by a point. The conference looks really good this year. It looks like there's some teams that are really challenging at the top. You know, we've talked so much about you guys and Murray over the years, but there's some other formidable opponents this year. Should be a fun tournament in Evansville.
Well, I think that there certainly appears to be four teams that have separated themselves, and I see very little difference in those four teams besides Murray and hopefully us than Austin Peay and Jacksonville State. I mean, can't forget that our two losses are both to Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
And it's going to make for a pretty interesting tournament, but you're right. I mean, Morehead State went to Jacksonville State and lost by a point. Eastern Illinois has beaten Austin Peay, and Eastern Kentucky and Martin have beaten Jacksonville State. So it's it certainly could be set for some upsets to happen, but I think the four teams at the top represent the best, most competitive group since we've been in the LVC.
Rick, you've seen this Ja Morant kid. Obviously, there's been a lot of praise about him, a lot of people talking about him being a lottery pick. When you faced him, what did you see out of him? I know you guys beat him at their place.
Yeah, and he got hurt early in the game and kind of tweaked his ankle. He played pretty much the rest of the way, and no way for me to know how that effect was. I think mostly it's what did we see going in of him, and he's got a unique ability to find teammates. I think he has as good a vision as a passer, with also the ability to get it to the goal and score and or get fouled as anybody we've played against since we've been in Division One. And he's improved his shooting. I think he's still shooting about 33% from three, and I would think at the NBA level that he needs to continue to work on that. He's slight of build, but those guys know way more than I do about what they need in that league, and they obviously are sold on him. He's a very, very hard guy to guard, very hard to guard and keep in front of you.
Rick Byrd is with us, Belmont head basketball coach. They are 22-4, and they are moving on towards another run at perhaps a chance to play for the NCAA tournament. He won his 800th game last night. Coach, I want to ask you about a couple of points in time in your career. You mentioned your first year, and of course, for people that may be new to Nashville, back then you guys were in the NAIA, and Lipscomb had become a powerhouse, and you guys rose up to a level to where that became the rivalry that it is today when you guys were in the same league. I want you to go sort of back in those days when, yeah, as you transitioned with some guys that turned the program as it was when you got it into a powerhouse nationally in the NAIA. What were some of the keys to maybe taking it to the level? Because as you said, you had a vision, you made up your mind what kind of team you wanted to have, and obviously you wanted to be successful, and Lipscomb had set a pretty high bar.
Well, you're right, and when I took this job in March of 1986, Lipscomb was in the process of winning a national championship in the NAIA and pretty much had established that program as the best in the NAIA. So pretty daunting task to face the people down the road being the best in the country. But I've said many times that whether Lipscomb fans like it or not, they deserve a lot of credit for where our program has become, as well as Trevecca at the time was an NAIA power. That first year I was here, they went to the Final Eight in the NAIA tournament. So we had to beat two local teams. We had to get better and be able to compete with those two teams. And had we not had Lipscomb in town, then I don't know where our program would be, because you just have to try to climb to that level. And if it was an average league, or below average league, maybe we'd have just done enough to compete near the top of that league, and we never would have been a national contender. So that's the start of it all. I mean, you just don't want to lose to the people down the road. They don't want to lose to us. Maybe we've helped their Division I program in the opposite way. That's the way things happen. Duke and North Carolina are both pretty good. They're going to stay pretty good. They don't want to fall below the other one.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And that leads me to the next stage of this whole process that I find pretty interesting. I can remember when you guys were making that transition from NAIA to Division I. You guys did it a few years before Lipscomb did, and you weren't allowed to play. You had to find a league, first of all. Then you had to go through the process of being eligible to play in the postseason. I'm looking back at a year, and I just went as far back as the KenPom website would lead me. 2002, you guys were 11-17 that year. And then a couple years later, you're up to the standard of winning 20 games and being right there for a conference championship. But those guys that led you through the transition, I can think back, those were key guys, right? Because you guys proved, even though you didn't win right away, that you could hang with the Division I teams.
Yeah, actually, our second year we were 14-13, I think, and really made some strides. And then we just backed up for a year and had a really bad season. But I think the class of the two guys that are the most significant as a twosome are Steve Draven and Adam Mark, coming from Indiana and bringing a real serious basketball mentality to the team. And in the class before that, Adam Son, local product who has become a very good high school coach, ended up being player of the year for us. So you throw him into the mix with those guys and the guys around them, and that's the 2004 senior team with Steve Draven and Adam Mark, that where we actually earned a bid to the NIT. We didn't, in those days, you didn't get the automatic one if you won the league but lost the tournament, and we made the NIT. And to be honest, I thought, wow, this may be as good as it gets. We've been invited to the NIT. So they set the standard. They built the level up. And then 06, 07, and 08, we were able to win our league and go to the NCAA tournament, which brought on, the Ian Clarks and Caron Johnsons and Mick Hedgepeth and the guys that had the next great round of NCAA tournament teams.
It is just amazing to think back through that whole building process. You go from guys like you described, who are good, tough college players, to guys who are now, you got Ian Clark playing in the NBA. It's just an amazing arc. How many former players have reached out to you in one form or fashion as this process has gone on, going back through this period?
No, well, I mean, I've probably gotten texts or emails from double figures for sure since last night. And I think, Willie, I think you would understand this. I've gotten some texts over the years, sometimes right after their senior season, sometimes when they've gone over to play in Europe or somewhere internationally and seen a whole different culture around the basketball team. I've gotten texts from players that just didn't really know any other way besides the way our program was run until they got elsewhere. And the appreciation you get from those kids just makes me cry, but I cried a lot of things. So there's really not anything. You talk about the whatever's out there in social media, which I haven't seen from on Twitter about last night and from my peers. That's great, but there's nothing as good as what your former players think about their experience while they were playing at Belmont University. There's nothing better than that.
Rick, did you see Zion Williamson come out of his shoes the other night at the beginning of the game?
I did.
Have you ever seen a player just literally burst out of their shoe like that before?
Yeah, I have. I've seen it happen two or three times at least. Sometimes it's we've worn Nikes for forever, and they've been great shoes. I've got to believe that it's a 285-pound guy trying to stop and make a move, and it just was, the force was too much for maybe any shoe that's made, or maybe that one wasn't made quite as good as some others. They can't possibly have quality control as good on every single pair of shoes. So, but yeah, I've seen shoes split open several times, done it, seen it in practice, seen it in games, and have to go find some others for the guy to wear. I'm not out there in that world where I'm hearing, but just from the fringe, it seems like people are questioning the quality of Nike shoes, and I think that's a silly way to look at it.
Yep, interesting.
And I'm not getting paid. Okay, so.
You're not doing a Nike endorsement right now?
No.
Hey, congratulations on Win 800 last night. Best of luck the rest of the way. I know you guys have another home game tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. So good luck. Thanks for doing this.
You guys are nice to have me on. Thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
That is Rick Bird, classy, classy guy. Belmont basketball coach, and he did get it done with career Win 800. He would rather be asked about a losing streak and have to talk about tough questions than to talk about himself.
But it's just amazing.
You saw how uncomfortable he got just talking about himself.
But, you know, I go back. It's really remarkable what he's done. It's not just to get to 800, but how they do it, right? As he mentioned, first of all, they have standards. They're going to win with good people. They're going to develop good people. And they're also going to play a style that, to me, is a fun style of basketball. You know, they pass, they move. It's a fun brand to watch.
They shoot threes.
Yeah, they have skill. But also, they went from NAIA to Division I, and they're winning 20 games every year. It's amazing. If you go back in time to that time when they changed, I don't think anybody was thinking, well, you think Belmont could win 20 games a year as a Division I program? I don't know. Lipscomb sure was going to wait and see what was going on before they decided to go, but it didn't take very long.
There's news over on West End about Vanderbilt head football coach Derek Mason. We'll talk about that. We'll tell you what it is. And also there's news swirling about Matt Duchesne in Ottawa. We'll tell you what that's all about. All that next on Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game.